This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Yeah, this is the official fight music anthem. If you see somebody you don't like, tell them stand up.
Hey, I hit them, then I split them, I get them for the dough. Pickpocket a nigga before I lay him across the floor. It's the Rock Town. You motherfuckers lay it down. We pound for pound. Illest niggas out ain't fucking around. This ain't the WCW or the NWO. It's reality. We're casually kicking your dough. Or we can switch to the Mortal Kombat. My niggas will come back, ready for combat. Hostility's filling me, killing these niggas is wrong. But what should I do? They tryna take me off my throne. I'll put my foot through the side of your head. Yeah, homies threw in the towel, they decided you dead. City decided to flare, but you decided to fight. Fight, one hit to the head, knocking out your lights. We can clash clans, or we can clash crews. After we clash your mans, then we gon' clash you.
Hit that, nigga, kick that, nigga. Talking that shit, better get back, nigga. Whack that, nigga, crack that, nigga. Pull it, get out.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a huge edition of the Man Up Podcast. Of course, today we have a huge UFC lineup. We're going to be talking about UFC 84 coming up. We got some big UFC news, and we also got some IFL news. But, of course, before we get into that, as always, I'm your host, Afton Slong, being joined by the editor over at ProWrestlingPodcast.com, Shane Slong. And, as always, you know he is my brother. How are you doing today?
Doing okay. Still recovering a little bit from being very sick and having a head cold and, you know, sore throat and all that kind of stuff. So I'm feeling a lot better today, but still not totally over it.
Yeah, my inside sources say that was hitting you pretty hard, man. You were pretty down.
Yeah, I pretty much couldn't have done a podcast a couple days ago. I mean, I could barely talk, so doing much better now, you know.
You like how I have inside sources on the happenings and the goings of your life?
Yeah, your inside source would just be me talking to me on the phone.
That could be true, or it could be my crackpot research staff. Makes them sound like idiots, dude.
A bunch of crackhead research staff.
Yeah.
My
crackpot research staff, man.
MMAManUp.com is reporting that ProWrestlingPodcast.com editor and co-host of MMA Man Up podcast could be sick. Sources say that this is in fact true.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, enough of this, you know, shenanigans here at the top of the show. Let's jump in. We got some news to discuss before we actually get into talking about the fights and previewing UFC 84. So let's go ahead and jump right into that. You know the Affliction, man, started up their own promotion. They've announced a deal with Fox Sports Net. They've also signed Little Nog. Of course, we know Little Nog being the brother of Nogueira, UFC interim heavyweight champion. Affliction held a press conference in L.A. on Tuesday to promote their inaugural band show coming up, being held on July 19th. The biggest news to come out of the press conference in California that the Affliction's hour-long preliminary card will be aired live on Fox Sports Net, dude. That's huge news. What do you think about that?
That is pretty big news. So the preliminary card for what now? Which event are we talking about here?
What do you mean which event? This is the first ever band, man, coming up in Anaheim, California. They're going to air
Affliction. Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. All right,
it's going to be an hour long segment on Fox Sports Net, dude. I'm sure they're just going to show the biggest fight. So an hour,
like best damn sports show, Affliction MMA edition or something.
Basically, something like that. So for an hour, they're going to says Affliction has confirmed that Tim Sylvie versus Fedor Emelianenko will headline this event, along with Josh Barnett versus Pedro Hizo. They also confirmed that fighters Alexander Emelianenko, younger brother of Fedor, Matt Lynn, Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira,
Rogerio,
Babalu, and Ben Roth will compete on the card. So here's the thing, though, man. How many of these fights do you think we're going to get to see on an hour-long show?
I'm not sure. I mean, is it like prelim fights, or is it going to be like the good stuff?
No. Yeah, it says, here, I missed this. And it says Affliction's hour-long preliminary card will be aired live on Spock Sports Net.
Yeah, that's what I saw. You were saying that it was a prelim card. So, I mean, we're not going to see any of those fights then. It's just going to be something to try to, like, you know, I mean, it's good.
Here's the prelim, dude. Let's see. Okay, we're going to see Selvin Young versus Mark Hominick, Justin Levins versus Ray Lamaze, J.J. Ambrose versus Patrick Specht, Mike Powell versus Brett Cooper. Yeah, so basically, they're just kind of trying to give you something, whet your appetite a little bit, and then try to get you, you know, you watching that, then bam, you're like, man, I got to see what's going on here, so that we got to tune into the main card, and they'll make you order that on, you know, pay-per-view. It's kind of the opposite of what UFC does, man. They show you their main card on pay-per-view, which is the same here. But then they make you pay for the unaired preliminary prelim bouts on their website, UFC On Demand. So,
UFC doesn't need to give anything away at this point. I mean, this is a smart move for Affliction to try to get people just aware that, hey, by the way, guys, there's going to be an MMA card tonight on pay-per-view. You know, in case you didn't know, here's some free fights. If you want to see the good stuff, buy it. Here, you know, everyone knows when the UFC is having a pay-per-view, though.
Here's what I think, man, okay? Yeah, you're not getting to see the main card. You know, a lot of people might be down on that. But I think you should look at this very positively. Anytime there's free live MMA on TV, that's a good thing in my book.
So, no doubt. I mean,
I'll definitely be tuning in to watch those prelim bouts. And then, you know, I already know that I'm going to be one of the ones also sitting around to watch the rest of the card. So, definitely, you know, very excited for this Affliction show coming up. You know, I don't know if they're going to be WFA'd or not, man, but this is going to be a damn good first show. It could be the last show, too. All right, let's talk about Yoni
now. Speaking of the show, is this not just like the all heavyweight freaking wrestling fighting federation, though? I mean, every fighter pretty much they've signed is not, in fact, a heavyweight.
Well,
I mean,
a lot of the big names out there for them to sign were recent, you know, heavyweights. I mean, the biggest name, obviously, Fedor. Tim Sylvia comes a free agent. Andre Arlovsky, if they get him, Ben Rothwell, all these are big names.
I mean, even guys
agents.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, like Alexander Emelianenko, and he also a heavyweight as well, I'm thinking.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think he might fight a light heavyweight.
I'll look it up, but I think he does also.
Because I know so
Pedro Hizo, I mean, is another heavyweight, obviously. Stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't see Little Nog's a lot heavy, though. Anyway. Let's talk about Takanori Gomi now, man. World Victory Road is prepared to hold a lightweight tournament on August 23rd. Of course, that's actually my birthday, man. That's kind of cool. The tournament will be an 8-man, one-day affair with the winner earning a right to face Takanori Gomi for the Sengoku lightweight title. So far, Sotaro Kiki, oh, God, I can't even say those guys' names, and Eli Mitsukiya have been the only participants identified to take place in the tournament, man. What do you think about this, dude? I think they're actually calling this the Road to Gomi or something like that, man.
Well, I guess, man, it shows how big of a star this Takanori Gomi is. I believe, if I'm going to try to get a little better pronunciation here for you, that'd be Satoru Kitaka and Eiji Mitsusaka.
Yeah.
I'm not the greatest, but I mean, I think you totally butchered them. I just slightly butchered them.
I need these spelled out phonetically, dude. These websites should know that, you know, this is a common thing for us to be pronouncing these Japanese names, and some of them are very difficult. So, you know, phonetic spelling would help out.
I mean, you're
there.
Supposed to be a, you know, a serious broadcast journalist here. I mean, can't you do a little homework here?
Okay, man, I'll tell you this. How many times have we heard serious broadcast journalists and guys on TV and radio, man, totally butcher people's names? It happens all the time.
Well, that is true. I'll give you that much.
You know, how many times does, like, Dan Mergliotta get his name just, like, totally... Like, I think Bruce Buffer just calls him, like, crazy stuff now, man. Mergliotta or something, you know.
I think
he just makes up stuff.
I think Travis View, obviously, who won the big Yama card, they called him like Travis Wolf or something for his first fight because View, he spells View like W-U-I-F-F or something, crazy like that.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We got some UFCs here, man. UFC 85 Bedlam card officially set. Rashad Evans out. UFC was forced to scrap the Rashad Evans James Irvin bout from UFC 85 after Irvin broke his foot during training. Evans, who was originally set to face Chuck Liddell at the event before Liddell was forced to drop due to injury, has been dropped from the card according to sources close to the UFC. Another change to this card includes a move for the Nathan Marquardt Thais Leites fight from the undercard to the main event. The final official fight card can be found below. So now our main card looks like this. Matt Hughes versus Thiago Alves. Michael Bisping versus Jason Day. Marcus Davis, Mike Swick. Nate Marquardt versus Thais Leites. Fabricio Werdum versus Brandon Vera. So what do you kind of think about this, dude? This seems like a very cursed card. And now Rashad Evans is off there. Does that, you know... How's this hurting your interest in this card and wanting to, you know, perhaps purchase it?
I mean, I personally think that this is going to be one of the lowest buy rates for a UFC card, you know, that they're going to get in a while. It probably won't be the worst card ever, certainly, but, I mean, all the changes that went from the main event being, you know, what was going to be a great matchup between Chuck Liddell and Mauricio Shogun Rua, to then, you know, Liddell Evans, and then Evans versus Chris Lieben. I mean, then Lieben's out.
Was it Chris Lieben?
Well, I mean, who was it after?
James Irvin. Chris Lieben was going to take on Michael Bisping.
Okay, yeah, that was going to kind of come in and be another big fight for this one. Bisping versus Lieben. That's not going to take place now on this card. I mean, it's just been the most, like, yeah, you got exactly right, the most cursed card in UFC history. I mean, there's still a couple decent fights on there, but a big lack of star power, if you ask me. I think this will be a card that maybe, you know, the hardcore MMA fans will buy, but I don't see it just being like, you know, get a ton of buys, you know, like a card, well, like the card that we're getting ready to see this weekend should get, because it's going to be a phenomenal card. And also, you know, the upcoming the card between, you know, Quint Rampage Jackson and Forrest Griffin will do, you know, big numbers, I think, as well.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about our final story here. Of course, we're talking about our good pal, Kevin Ferguson, a.k.a. Kimbo Slice. Apparently, man, Kimbo...
He's a good buddy now, a personal friend.
Yeah, a friend of the show, Kimbo Slice, man. Kimbo Slice presenting at the Country Music Awards. Do you think they announced him when he came out to present as the legendary Street Fighter?
Does this just seem to me to be like the most awkward, you know, like, why is he at the CMT Awards? I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, like, maybe I could see, you know, any other, like, the freaking VH1 Music Awards, or not VH1, but excuse me, but MTV, maybe like the BET, the Source Awards, or whatever that is. I just don't picture him in country music, even though he was wearing the very country music attire, man, for that last appearance he made at that, what, UFC Strikeforce card. He had the blue jeans and the button-up shirt, man. He did look a little country, you know.
Yeah. Hey, man, last thing I want to touch on. I know you didn't want to talk about it, but, hey, well, guess what? This is my show, and we're going to quickly touch on it. Speaking about YouTube street fighting legends, what about this guy, man, from Iron Ring calling out Nick Thompson?
I'm just going to hang up here, man. Like I said, if we're reporting on this, then we need to report on local bar fights, man, okay? I mean, we got to have a little...
Hey, tell the fans where this guy wanted Nick Thompson to fight him, man.
And the projects, I guess, in New York.
He wanted to fight him in the park, man. No rules, no gloves, just banging out in the streets, man.
All right, well, look, just let me explain very quickly here what this is about. Some guy who is the Black Taoist or whatever, and he supposedly knows Kung Fu, okay? And he's a coach on that hip-hop, you know, shitty-ass MMA show, Iron Rings, and now thinks that that mixed martial arts is a joke, basically, and that he could defeat any mixed martial artist.
Let's get it straight here. We don't want to slap the man. He said, quote, it's a sport, and you, since they have to fight by rules, that those rules would get them killed on the street, man. He said that, you know, there's a couple of guys got some talent. He, quote, said, Anderson Silva and Rampage have a little talent, man, but everybody else in there is a bum, and they, when they, if they had to survive on the streets, dude, they get killed.
I mean, this is just the most ridiculous thing ever, though. Because this guy, I mean, tell you what would happen. He is, all he is, dude, I mean, I don't even know what the hell fucking this Tai Chi Chuan, you know, Taoist, you know, Kung Fu, if he wants to call it that, shit's going to do for him, really. I mean, I'm sure that works great in a street fight where some guy just comes at you windmilling left and right. But, I mean, a UFC fighter, I mean, how is he going to, I don't see, he's challenging, like, Bulldog fight, what, is it middleweight champion, what weight class is welterweight champion, Nick Thompson. I mean, it's not, it's just, he's going to get killed. I mean, if they got in a real fight. Yeah, there's rules to mixed martial arts. Those rules are like no eye gouging, no, you know, soccer kicks, stomps, no, you know, downward striking elbows.
Well, he didn't want no rules, man.
I mean, if he added all that stuff in, if Nick Thompson could do all that stuff, he would just kill him even worse, man, than it would be if they did, if they went by some sort of rules.
Well, okay. Now they're going no rules.
Because,
no rules street fight.
Like I said, the only way that this guy has a chance to win is if he brings some sort of weapons, ball bats, fucking knives, guns. I mean, that's the only way he could win this fight, because what I would do if I was Nick Thompson is shoot in, take him down. I don't think there's that much takedown defense in freaking, you know, Tai Chi or whatever. Take him down and just ground and pound the shit out of this guy. He, when you get him on the ground, he has no wrestling or jiu-jitsu background. He's going to have no way to get out, you know, get off his back, and he's just going to get worked over or submitted, man. I mean, I think the guy's just fooling himself if he thinks that he, you know, would have any chance against a well-rounded mixed martial artist, man. There's just no way, and it's stupid,
yeah,
and we shouldn't even be talking about it.
All right. I guess we can move on, man. I found it, you know, kind of humorous. Just go out there, YouTube it. You should be able to find it or something like that. Trust me, it is quite humorous just seeing this guy talk a lot of shit.
I mean, talking about news that actually kind of matters, like Randy Couture winning a major court hearing, man?
Yeah, I looked at it. I wasn't going to talk about it then. I was like, it ain't even that major. He just won the right to not have the court date pushed back or something like that.
Well, I mean, now Zuffa is not going to be able to just push this off forever until he gets too old to fight. You know, I think it's a pretty big win. Also, in other news, I don't know if you'd seen this, but another fight announced for UFC 87, which will be in Minnesota. What am I talking about here? UFC heavyweight fighter Chet Congo, 11-4 record. Excuse me, my voice is getting all weird here on me. Made a big splash in the UFC by derailing MMA legend Mirko Krokop last September at UFC 75, but subsequently dropped a split decision to Heath Herring and was looking to get back on the track with a win in Minnesota. His opponent is Dan Evesen, who is 10-2 and is entering UFC from Bodog fight and is currently riding a 4-fight win streak, but has yet to been tested as a fighter of Congo's caliber. This fight is the third bout added to the UFC 87 card, which features the heavyweight contest, of course, between Brock Lesnar and UFC Hall of Famer Mark Coleman, and a lightweight eliminator fight between Kenflo Florian and Roger Huerta, the winner of which is likely to get a shot at the winner of the upcoming BJPN versus Sean Sherk fight this weekend. So there's some new, there's some actual MMA news. Chet Congo getting back into the octagon to take on Bulldog fight star Dan Evesen.
Yeah, I guess that is pretty big news. I mean, you know, that's a long way away, though, to that UFC 87 card, so. But definitely, you know, you never know what happens between now and then. But, that'll be a kind of interesting thing, man. Congo, I don't know about him, man. I'm not that high on him. You know, he did meet Mirko Krokop, but he didn't look that impressive against Keith Haring at all.
Yeah, well, this is something, dude. I'm going to bring up Czech Congo later when we get into the IFL discussion. And, you know, you'll see why later on.
All right. Anyway, so speaking of the IFL, I guess we should go ahead and talk about this. Of course, we had an IFL go down over the last weekend, I think. It went down Friday. And first of all, dude, you know, again, here's the IFL putting together, you know, a pretty decent card, you know, and putting on some good fights here. And like we said the last time, you know, it's really a shame that their cards are getting better as the company is closer and closer to shutting the doors. You know, the rumors are running rampant about this company closing down in August if they don't get some kind of investor or someone to just buy them out. And speaking of that, you can kind of tell that they're just trying anything to really change it up here and get some interest in the sport. And then at the top of the show, they unveil the new six-sided ring, the Hex.
The Hex. UFC is putting a Hex on their show.
Yeah. So what did you think about the Hex, man? And will you care at all about seeing the Hex?
No, not really. I mean, I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. It's basically just going to be like a, now it's going to be like Octagon, only it's going to be
You're a fan of the TNA wrestling, dude. You know all about those six points of impact around that ring, man. I mean, how is that going to impact a UFC fight? Or not UFC fight, but, you know, the IFL fighters.
I mean, I guess it does change it a little bit. I guess it makes it easier for you to circle away. You don't have to worry so much about getting, cornered and stuff like that. So it's going to be just like the Octagon, you know, the same things people say about, you know, a cage, only it's going to be, you know, a ring this time. Just have ropes instead of actual, you know, chain length fence or something.
Yeah, you know, we'll just see how it works out. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this card, man. For the most part, it was a pretty decent card. The first match was Matt Horwitz versus Joey Grell. Of course, we remember Matt Horwitz from his, you know, decision loss to Ryan McGivern for that IFL middleweight title. And here he is trying to get back on the horse. And he's kind of...
A bell that just bounces around all over the place these days.
Yeah, definitely. And I tell you what, dude. You notice these guys that come off a loss like that. And Horwitz was definitely no exception here. They always... And Chris Hordeski was, too, also, when he fought on the last show. They seem very tentative. They, you know, they didn't really seem... I don't know. I don't even know the correct term, but
the fight was just kind of boring, basically, is what you're trying to say.
It was a boring fight. You know, not a lot was happening. A
lot of booze.
You know, dude, heavy, heavy clinch work was going on. These guys would get the old Greco clinch here and trade those inside knee shots.
Dude, are you trying to say that wasn't great action? I mean, Boss Rutten
was
very upset with the fans for not thinking the two men hugging each other and throwing weak knees is not great action.
Well, I wouldn't call it hugging each other and stuff like that, but definitely bosses, and, you know, like I said, it's true that, I mean, they are, you know, this very technical working the clinch game, didn't want to make any mistakes. They were throwing some knees, but, you know, while that may be at quote-unquote action, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not exciting, okay? Definitely, I don't want to see guys just trading some knees in there.
How many fights have ended with a knee to the inner thigh? I would wonder.
I don't know. But yeah, this wasn't very exciting at all. Horwitz does end up winning the unanimous decision, though. So the next fight up was Zach George.
Much more exciting fight this next
versus
one.
Versus Josh Schroeder, man, or Schroeder. wow, dude. He just lands a huge shot, dude, and knocks him down and just starts pounding this guy out, and it's over very quickly. Only 47 seconds into the first round, a TKO.
As the kids would say, Josh Schroeder, epic fail. Hang on a second. Who actually won this? Was it Schroeder that won?
Yeah.
Okay, Zach George, epic fail.
Wow, what the hell are you even talking about, man?
Dude, I guess I'm just high on like cough medicine or something here, man. I don't know. I'm going crazy. Epic fail, dude. I mean, he got TKO'd. He got pounded out in 47 seconds. That's a pretty epic way to go down in flames, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's exciting, dude. They just come in there and, you know.
I'm sure it was exciting for us, but not for him to get his head knocked off. Dude, he got left and right, man. It was just hilarious. You need to YouTube this fight. It was just like left hook, right hook, left hook, right hook. He was like bam, 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 bam. For like, he probably landed like 20 shots in about 5 seconds, dude. I mean, it was just, he's working him like a speed bag, man, with those hooks down in the corner, and then the ref thankfully stopped it. He was pretty pissed, if I remember correctly, too. Zach George was extremely upset at himself for getting kind of embarrassed like that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the next fight here. Of course, Mike Messina versus Dan Villafort, man. This is actually a very good fight. I enjoyed it, you know, a lot. They trade kind of early and goes to the mat. There's not a ton of action, and the referee stands them back up. And Milosar scores with a couple punches, but as they scramble, Villafort goes after a leg. And they scramble on the ground a little bit. You know, he's trying to set back on it to block it, but eventually he kind of pushes him forward, and he just secures a knee bar, and Matthew Zero taps out. God, did I just call a guy like 8 different names, man? At 3:25,
so
the opening round. Mike Messina. God, Mazir. God, what the fuck?
Massino. Let's call him Mike, for God's sakes. Get some freaking. Why does everybody have to have such a complicated last name in mixed martial arts? I mean, we got Davidas Torsavicius coming up here later. I mean, can anybody just have like a good name like Sloan, a very easy name to pronounce?
Yeah, see, but that was a good fight, so I totally fucking remembered that guy's name, okay?
Yeah.
You know, if you get tapped out in the first round, you know, I tend to not to remember your, you know, complex name or whatever. But anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a pretty good name. He gets it with a knee bar, you know, some good technical groundwork there, you know, siding.
Yeah, I mean, I love this fight. I mean, Villafort, I mean, he just got that leg and he wouldn't give up on it. He went for a toe hold, of course, and as Boss Rudin pointed out, the toe hold, the counter to that is to straighten out your leg, which just sets you up perfectly for a knee bar, which Villafort was able to hook on to Mazzino, whatever Mikey will call him, and he gets tapped in 3 minutes, 25 seconds opening round. But it was a exciting fight without being like a knockout. You know, it was a technical ground fight that was also very exciting.
Yeah, let's talk about this next fight. Of course, the new champion coming in this, and of course this is their first title fight. Ryan McGivern taking on Dan Miller. Of course, like I said, McGivern had just won this title the last show they did over Matt Horowitz, and here he is defending his title for the first time. This is a pretty damn exciting fight here. He didn't make it out of the first round. These guys were trading early. McGivern was landing some good up kicks when Miller was trying to, was standing over him. And here was another leg lock, dude. Victory, man. Of course, Ryan McGivern in this fight, he was actually, if you went by it on the feet, he was probably winning it on the feet, standing. Dan Miller, wasn't looking that good, but he's a student at Henzo Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, so he's always looking to try to get it down to the feet. And once he did get it down, he grabs hold of that leg. He locks in, the knee bar. And this is like one of those knee bars where he's on top of it, so he's actually having to bend his back backwards and really pull up on the knee like that. And McGivern just is forced to tap out and becomes the new IFL middleweight champion.
I mean, this was almost just a replay of the previous fight, because once again, of course, a knee bar, and it was set up the same way with an attempt at a toe hold, which led to the knee bar. As you said, this time it was he was on top instead of on the bottom, so he is pulling up on him, but just as effective either way. Impressive win for Dan Miller, the new champion in the International Fight League's middleweight division. Pretty impressive. Again, a very exciting fight, though.
Okay, this next fight up, definitely a war. We got Ryan the Lion Schultz, the reigning and defending IFL lightweight champion, taking on Devesis. Wow, Thalacius. How did you say this guy's name? Shane. Did we get cut off here? Are you there?
Oh, my bad. My microphone was muted. I thought I had you. I thought I unmuted it, but I guess I didn't. I was gonna say his name is Davidius Torosavicius.
Yeah, Torosavicius.
Against
him.
I think his name's Ryan Schultz.
I just said his name before that, man. But I mean, it's all awkward now where there was a huge silence in there.
Oh, well, my bad.
Anyway, Ryan Schultz versus Davidius Torosavicius. 5-round war. This goes the full distance. Early
Schultz
on,
has been having a lot of 5-round fights. His last fight, of course, was also 5 rounds as well.
This fight was much more exciting.
This one's a lot more exciting, though, Dev.
Yeah, these guys bang early. Tavishius picks up. A lot of people thought he picked up those first 2 rounds. The 3rd round was very close. Could have went either way, but you know, a lot of people think this is where Schultz kind of started turning the tide. Also, I think this is where Torosavicius's cardio started, wearing on him a little bit, and I think Schultz was the fresher man from here on out, and that's why he was taking these later rounds. Schultz showed some very impressive jiu-jitsu defense here. Torosavicius had his back a couple of times, but Schultz did not allow him to choke him out. And then, like I said, starting in the 3rd round on, Schultz just really started pulling ahead. You know, he started getting the takedowns. Actually, wasn't the 3rd round, dude, where it starts out with Schultz has that huge takedown, man, right at the start of it? Where, he did that power double.
That definitely turned the tide. A huge slam off a takedown for Schultz. And from that point on, I think he won every round from there out. I would score it. Much like the judges, I think, scored it the same way. I would have scored it 48-47 for Schultz. I gave the first 2 rounds to Torosavicius, and I gave
the last three to Schultz. Here's some news down here. Apparently, Torosavicius claims he broke his foot 2 minutes into the fight, man.
Well, that would not be good for him. He still did a pretty good job, fighting this one out with a broken foot, if that's indeed true. I think it was a solid bout, really. It came down to the last round, too. Like I said, I had 2 rounds of 2 going in the last round. Of course, Schultz just dominated that last round, big time. So, it wasn't a close fight, I didn't think, as far as when it came to the actual judges. But going into the 5th round, it was still a very close fight. Good fight. And if he did break his foot, I wouldn't mind seeing these two guys do it again, because Torosavicius, he's pretty solid, I felt,
Let's talk about this last fight here, though, which I found to be a big letdown. Of course, it was Roy Big Country Nelson, the reigning and defending IFL heavyweight champion, against Brad Imes, the hillbilly heartthrob, man, Brad Imes. Wow, dude, this sucked, dude. I don't know, man. I was expecting more out of Brad Imes than this, man. He was talking about in an interview before this, a lot of people were kind of excited about him. He had 2 Gogo Plata finishes before this coming into it. It was a very rare finish. Wow, he looked like shit, dude. He was trying to stand with Roy Nelson, and he looked so awkward, man. Brad Imes is a much taller man than Roy Nelson. He had a huge reach. Yet Roy Nelson, in his awkward style, because his arms are barely longer than his big belly, man, his big gut, was just pounding this guy's face in. I mean, it was sad and pathetic, and, I don't believe in guys throwing fights. I don't think it really happens, but this kind of looked like that, man. He looked like he was just going out there and not even fighting back. Harley Brad Imes totally destroyed by Roy Nelson, and it's ended at 2:55 of the first. A horrible fight, huge letdown. What'd you think?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that he threw the fight. You know, I wouldn't go that far.
No, I didn't say it. I said it looked like it. He fought like he was throwing it, although, you know, I said that I don't believe guys throw fights, but, you know, this would be some suspicion here about he could not put up any better fight than that. He never went to the ground at all.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's what I would say. Yeah, definitely. He disappointed me a lot. You know, coming in, you hear a lot about his...
You hear
a lot about his jiu-jitsu, obviously.
Yeah.
The two back-to-back go-go plotters. One was at the WFC Downtown Throwdown card. That's WFA that had the only had one show, wasn't it? WFC something else. He beat some guy, Zach Jensen, and then he beat Bo Cantrell at King of the Cage, arch rivals. He beat him via go-go plotter. So two back-to-back go-go plotter wins. Everybody's talking about this guy's jiu-jitsu. You know, he's so... you know, he's a jiu-jitsu guy, wins via triangle choke and you know, arm bars and go-go plotters. So, I mean, I was like, I want to see what he can do on the ground. He got put on the ground, all right. He got put on the ground with a big right from Roy Nelson. He never got a takedown, never even came close to getting a takedown. He just got his face boxed for, like, you know, one round and got dropped. Let me ask you, express, if you will, to the listeners, your hatred of all things Big Country Roy Nelson. He's got to be your anti-guy, pretty much, when he comes to mixed martial arts.
Before I get into that, I just want to say that now, officially, you can add Brad Imes to the Ken Shamrock, Tank Abbott list of guys I never want to see back in a cage or ring ever again. I do not want to see them fight.
Brad Imes is still kind of young, though. I mean,
fuck Brad Imes, okay? If that's the kind of performance you're going to put on, I don't want to see you back in there. It was a total disgrace. It was a horrible performance. I'd rather see... Tank Abbott would have got in there. At least he'd have thrown
Tank
something.
Tank Abbott's a good style matchup, though, with, you know, Big Country Roy
good
Nelson.
Lord.
Bangers,
look,
man.
Just fall down, man, okay? Or something. I don't know. Pull guard
on him.
Yeah. That was horrible. That was the worst game. His hands, dude, are pathetic. Anyway, like I said, fuck him. I never want to see him again.
Let's just face it. The only reason why you're so mad, though, is just because you hate Roy Nelson and you wanted someone to beat him and take that IFL.
Well, I find Roy Nelson to be an embarrassment.
Happen, as much as you hate Roy Nelson, as much as you hate his guts, man, admit it.
Well, that's because the IFL heavyweight... IFL heavyweight division sucks. They don't have anyone to really take that. You know, then that's the reason the IFL, you know, has some troubles, dude. They don't have deep divisions at all. A lot of these divisions have absolutely no one to face the champion. And Roy Nelson's last fight sucked. This fight sucked. I don't like the guy. He looks horrible. He looks out of shape. He looks nothing like a true champion. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. He looks like Butterbean. I guess he's like Butterbean back when Butterbean was kind of good when, you know, he was only 350. As soon as this guy gets anywhere, I don't even know how old he is, but basically once he gets a little bit older, he'll balloon up to like 450 pounds. It'll be some super heavyweight freak show that no one's going to care about. I hate the guy.
Will he be appearing in whatever the Yama of the future will be called? Because obviously Yama's not going to last that long. He'll be in a master super fight, man.
Yeah.
As much as you hate the guy, let me just say something right now. Beat him. Somebody beat him, man. Somebody needs to beat the guy because no one's done it yet.
You put this guy in the UFC, you put him in Elite. Dude, Tank, I swear to God, Kimbo Slice would beat this guy, I think, man. Okay, maybe that's a little too far. Maybe that wouldn't happen. But you put him in the UFC, man.
I think it'd be a good fight. You know, I think if they fought each other, that would be a good fight.
there's going to be a ton of guys that would murder him. Okay, Brock Lesnar would beat him probably.
Dude, he went to a split decision with, you know, top 10 ranked heavyweight Ben Rothwell, dude.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know. Anyway, let's not talk about him because I'm sick. Let's talk about Man Up Moment of the Night for this fight, or not fight, but fight card, dude. Who you going with?
Let me think here for a minute. I mean, I think they're there's a couple of candidates here, but I got to go with Dan Miller for his impressive knee bar finish to take the IFL Middleweight Championship over Ryan McGivern. That's my pick. I mean, the Schultz fight was also, I mean, it was a good fight. You know, you got to give a nod also to Big Country, man, for KO and Brad Imes in the first round. But no, I would say definitely it's got to be Dan Miller for beating Ryan McGivern to become the middleweight champion.
I agree with that, man. Before we get into the UFC 84, yo, Will, dude, here, I think, and I see this little advertising here, I think me and you need to do this, dude. We're going to set up a UFC fantasy thing here. If this is anything like fantasy pick'em or football, we should be able to make like a league type thing, man. If we can, then I'm going to officially start the Man Up Podcasting UFC Fantasy League, man, where me and you will be, you know, playing against the listeners, man, making our picks. So definitely, after we get done doing this, we got to sign up for that and see, you know, kind of look into that.
This is very unlike you, Afton. I mean, normally you don't want to have any interaction with the humanoids, man. So, yeah. If anybody gets that, it's an old Bobby the Brain Heenan reference. But, I mean, yeah, that sounds awesome, you know. We're going to check this out here and see what we can do with it.
So, basically, if you're listening to this, check out the blog post. If this goes down, I'll put the information in here with the show notes of the show. So, you know, just check that out. All right, so anyway, let's make some picks here, dude. Let's talk about UFC 84, Ill Will. I always like to start right at the top of the card and work in descending order down. So, of course, we're starting with BJ, the Prodigy Penn versus Sean, the Muscle Shark Shirt. Wow, dude, huge war of words came to this fight. Big time heat between these two guys. They don't like each other at all. Sean Sherk thinks BJ Penn has his title. He says he never lost it. You know, BJ Penn said that he won the steroids title and that he's restored some dignity and honor back to the belt, you know, and a lot of other stuff these guys really said to each other. How do you see this fight going? Who you taking in this fight?
Well, I think, well, first off, why are we starting at the top here? Okay, we need to start at the bottom, build up that anticipation for our big pick.
No. See, unlike the fans, dude, they want to get to the meat early. Okay, they want the meat potatoes early.
You got
to
build
up. They don't want to start with the side salad, man. They don't want to talk about.
I don't know if I want to give my pick. I don't know if I'm ready yet. I don't know. I mean, I was going to build up to it, you know.
What? What are you talking about?
You're going straight to the top, man. You know, you got to give time to build up to it, but. Regardless of your method of picking this card, I would say that there's definitely a ton of bad blood between these two guys. I think BJ Penn didn't he just quote say Sean Sherk, you're dead, so he's gonna kill him the next time they you know fought each other in the cage. I mean, this is gonna be, I think, one of the best fights, you know, we're gonna see this year, perhaps. You know, BJ Penn, the Prodigy, he's 13-4-1, of course, is his record. He's been in big fights since the day he, you know, debuted almost in mixed martial arts. His second fight ever was a championship fight. So this guy's been fighting for championships, like I said, his entire career. Just, you know, phenomenal BJJ guy. Let me ask you, though, BJ Penn has been known to have cardio issues. He's known to, you know, have a little bit of conditioning issues.
I think
you see there's going to be
lightweight.
I was going to say, you see that continuing, or do you think he's over that now?
I think moving to lightweight, dude, has kind of really helped those issues because he has to get dedicated. He has to get in shape to make 155. So I think that, you know, really settles a lot of this. There could be some if it goes to the later championship rounds, the fourth and fifth round. But I think BJ Penn's coming in this one in pretty good shape.
I mean, obviously,
of course, you know,
we know
Sean Sherk is.
Sherk say,
unless, you know,
freak. I mean, he's not going to.
A lot of people are going to contend that if once he comes off those roids, maybe he ain't going to be in as great a
shape.
Well,
look, I mean, we don't even know if he's on roids. He's allegedly on steroids. I mean, he claims that he allegedly didn't take them. I mean, I don't know. So say what you want about that. I don't think he's gassing out, put it that way. I think his tank's going to be full, even though gas is like, you know, $3.80 a gallon or something
these
days.
Here's what I think, man. I think that if this it's an early decision. Okay, wait a minute. If there's a stoppage, I think it's by a pin stopping it. I think Sean Sherk wins it, just like he's been winning all of his fights here lately. This will go to decision. Sean Sherk wins, and he'll outpoint BJ Penn. I think BJ Penn's the one that will stop the fight if there is a stoppage. What do you think about that?
I agree. I mean, I don't think Sean Sherk is going to knock out BJ Penn.
I definitely don't.
And I certainly don't. Yeah, I certainly don't think he's going to submit him. So, yeah, I think if Sherk wins, he's just going to. It's possible he can knock him out. Get a stoppage if, you know, he can just wear, you know, BJ Penn out in the later rounds and just start pounding on him, and BJ and I have the gas to really defend himself.
What do you think about people that say that Sean Sherk's neck is made out of tungsten and he's impossible to choke out, man? Actually, they claim it's made out of steel, but I threw tungsten in there.
Make it a little flashier. I mean, yeah. He could be. He's only lost two fights in his career, dude. He's 35-2-1. Very impressive. Like I said, it's going to be a hell of a fight. So
I'll tell you right now, I watched the fight against Hermes Franca, man, Sean Sherk. Franca, dude, and Sherk's got a chin on him, man, because he landed some big knees at the start of almost every round. And one of them dropped Sherk, dude, but he recovered quickly.
I mean, you got to have a good chin if you're going to go for shoot for those takedowns, man. I mean, you're going to take some shots. Yeah. You're going to take some guillotine attempts.
I think BJ Penn wins this by a submission somehow.
So you think he's going to submit him somehow?
Yeah.
Well, you going to go choke? You going like...
Maybe armbar, triangle, maybe, you know... Some time, maybe a leg lock, man. Something, you know, kind of crazy.
I don't think so. My official pick, I gotta go with the Muscle Sherk, Sean Sherk. I'm picking Sherk to regain his UFC lightweight championship.
He's gonna beat BJ Penn.
He's gonna beat him on points. It's gonna be a close decision, like 3-2, perhaps. But he's going to. I think Penn's going to win early, maybe, but Sherk's just going to outlast him. He's going to just take him down, pound on him, and win a decision. Sherk.
So he's going to win that steroids title back?
Well, I mean, whatever. I mean, like I said, I'm picking. Unlike you, Aston, who you just constantly just throw all picks out there willy nilly. I've put a lot of thought into this. I'm not saying. I mean, first off, I hate people that use steroids. Okay, I mean, I totally agree with BJ Penn.
Oh, so me picking BJ Penn, dude, is just throwing a wild pick out there, man.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's a fine pick. I'm just saying sometimes you've been known to make picks without putting a lot of thought into it. So me picking Sean Sherk is not just me throwing a wild pick out there. I put a lot of thought into this. And even though, like I said, now, I mean, Sean Sherk, I'm going to go ahead and just give the guy the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he didn't do it. But if he did, I do not support anyone using steroids or any other kind of performance-enhancing substance. I hate that sort of stuff. I'm always against it, always, and very vehement with when I speak out against people who use performance-enhancing drugs. So I'm not one of these people that's just like, I don't care, they're all doing it. I mean, I'm not one of those people. I mean, I don't give a damn if everybody's doing it. Everybody shouldn't be doing it. It's illegal, and it's, you know, it's wrong, and, you know, they're killing themselves. And worse than anything, they're setting a very bad influence, you know, for other fighters, for kids, for people who want to try to keep up with them. You know, they shouldn't have to be on the roids themselves to try to keep up with the competition. But anyway, I mean, with all that said, you know, I mean, regardless of my feelings towards Sean Sherk as a person, and if I believe that he, you know, did use steroids or not, I just think that, you know, I think he's going to pull this fight out. I think Sean Sherk is going to win. It's not going to be a stop. It's going to go 5 rounds. But I think when it comes to the scorecards, it's going to come back with Sean Sherk edging out a victory in this fight.
Very interesting pick, man. We'll just have to see here. Next up, again, going down, fight personally, dude, I'm maybe the most excited about. Of course, we got Wanderlei, the axe murderer Silva, the legendary Wanderlei Silva, taking on the Dean of Mean, Keith Jardine. I'll actually let you start with this fight, dude. What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's going to be a war. These are two guys that are going to love the bang, basically. Keith Jardine, he's a guy. Here's the thing about Keith Jardine. He's a guy that can knock people out. I mean, he had some, you know, he's got some stopping power. He's won some big fights here recently. Certainly the win over Chuck Liddell was huge, and that's what he's really catapulted him into the big time picture as far as the light heavyweight division goes. And I think he's one win away from that title shot. I think if he wins this, you got to give him a shot at the winner of Forrest versus Rampage. However, he also is a guy that is known to get caught. Again, bringing up the Houston Alexander fight where he lost to Houston Alexander, who has been proven to be not exactly the best fighter in the world. I mean, Houston Alexander just recently got dropped by James Irving at the Ultimate Fight Night card. So it's going to be an interesting fight. Obviously, Wanderlei Silva, another guy, loves to go to war, but he's lost two straight fights here in the UFC. I think, three overall? He lost his last fight in Pride as well to Dan Henderson, I think. Or was it Dan Henderson? I mean, has he lost three straight? I'm not really sure.
Lost to Krokop, Henderson, and now Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, so he's lost three straight fights. I think this is almost a must-win for Wanderlei Silva, at least if he wants to get in any way back into a title picture in the UFC. I mean, the UFC doesn't need fighters that can't win fights. I mean, he was the axe murderer. He was one of the most feared men in mixed martial arts. You know, and he's not going to be that if he can't win. He's been training hard. If you watched the UFC Unleashed or whatever, Total Access, whatever it was that the UFC produced, I watched it last night. I mean, it's very very unusual training, man, that he actually trains by wearing a snorkel while doing all of his, you know, cardio workouts to restrict the airflow. He's breathing through a snorkel to try to make it harder for him to breathe, to really build up his cardio. He's a guy that's not going to gas out on you. He's running on the treadmill, you know, doing other exercises with a snorkel. I thought it was a very interesting way to train. Obviously, he's a guy that's got a lot of stopping power. Do you think, though, Aston, that perhaps the Pride rules were, you know, what made Wanderlei Silva so dangerous, and now that he has to conform to the mixed, you know, the unified rules of mixed martial arts?
No.
You'll see.
I think, this is what I think, dude. Let's
you think
break
he was
down.
Juicing over
Krokop.
Japan?
Okay, look, let's break these down. Wanderlei was a very dominant man in Pride. He was an animal, okay? You know, I'm not going to get into the steroids discussion. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But here's what I really think. I think he took on Krokop, a guy out of his weight class, you know, tremendously. Wanderlei Silva is really a 185-pound fighter, basically, fighting at 205. He's a very small 205-er, and then he was taking on Miracle Krokop, a heavyweight, and he kicked his head off, okay? You know, that happens. Okay, then I think he was a little bit down from that. He takes on Dan Henderson. We all know Dan Henderson's a damn tough opponent, man. He's got huge power.
Who hasn't won a fight, though, in the UFC?
So, I mean, again, dude, this is fighting, man. It's very, you know, complicated. So,
up and
you know,
down.
Henderson caught him with one of those big powerful punches and knocked him out, you know, very vicious style. You know, that happens also. And then Chuck Liddell beating them in a three-round war with these guys just totally banging it out, man. Great fight. And no way did Chuck Liddell fucking just dominate that fight. It was damn good. But he beat him there, you know. So, and that was his first fight in the octagon. I don't think there's, you know, anything wrong with the axe murderer. I definitely like him in this fight. You know, Keith Jardine is someone that's shown that he wins when he's been taken lightly, okay? The Dean Amin, you know, goes out there and he pulls the Houston Alexander just like Houston Alexander pulled on him. He beat guys that they didn't think he should, okay? And then he's been shown to be one of these guys that will totally underestimate somebody, have that happen to him when Houston Alexander destroyed this guy. I think Wanderlei Silva is no way in hell is he taking this guy lightly. He's going to be hungry as fuck. He's going to come out. He's going to be throwing. And I think he beats Keith Jardine. And these guys are just going to bang it out. And I think he's going to, you know, land some huge power shots and knock him out. I predict Wanderlei Silva knockout.
Wow. Bold.
And I tell you right now, dude, and listen, you know, Vanderlei Silva, this guy can take you to the ground if you need to, man, okay? He just doesn't have to stand there and bang with you, man, although that's usually what he does. You know, a very underrated ground game of Vanderlei Silva. You know, he could take this down and, you know, submit Keith Jardine. I mean, that would be pretty shocking, but it could happen.
Well, that could happen indeed. Here's what I'm going to say, though. I'm going to go with the Dean of Mean, Keith Jardine, to win this fight. Wow. I feel that
you're
he...
just picking these out of your ass, dude.
No, I'm not, dude.
Keith Jardine's going to beat the legendary Vanderlei Silva, man.
The legend has died, okay? Vanderlei Silva is done. He is over, and Keith Jardine will bury him at UFC 84.
We'll see about that.
The Dean of Mean, look, he made one mistake. All right, he got a big win and stuff. He had, you know, had everything going for him, and then he overlooked Houston Alexander, and he got caught. That's not going to happen anymore. You're talking about Vanderlei Silva not overlooking Jardine. Well, Jardine's not overlooking anybody anymore, okay? He's clearly a talented up-and-coming fighter. You don't beat Chuck Liddell, I mean, by just, you know, pulling one out of your ass. You got to have some talent. Chuck Liddell looked very impressive against Vanderlei Silva. So I'm not just trying to say, well, you know, Jardine beat Liddell and Liddell beat Vanderlei, so therefore Jardine should be able to beat Vanderlei. I just think Jardine's younger.
Using that
he's
MMA
hungrier.
Math there.
Yeah, I mean, he's younger. He's hungrier. I think Vanderlei is just a declining star. You know, he was a legend. But, you know,
I think he's
whatever's
gonna come
happened,
in there with that,
he's just
quote
not...
unquote. I think he's going to come in there with that quote unquote monkey chimpanzee attack, dude, and just get knocked the fuck out, man, okay? That's what I want to see happen, and I hope it happens. That's what I think is going to happen.
I don't know that. I don't know if Jardine's going to actually knock out Vanderlei Silva because the guy clearly, you know, he's got a pretty good chin and stuff, but. I think he'll beat him. You know, I think he could stop him. It could be a TKO, or it might go all three rounds. But if it does, I'm going with Keith Jardine either way to beat the axe murderer.
All right. Let's move on to this next fight. We got Wilson Gouveia versus Goran Rilichik, man. Of course, you know, a lot of people, look, when they go to look at the UFC website, they're like, hey, let's check out the fight card. When it says photo coming soon, a lot of guys are like, oh. This is probably bad, okay? But I'm telling you what, man. First of all, this guy's undefeated. Very good Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, man. He won the 2007 European Gracie Championships. Almost all of his decisions have come by way of submission. So definitely a very good practitioner of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie and act like I know all about this guy. I don't know that much. You know, he's a Croatian. I really don't, you know, have my ear to the ground on the Croatian MMA scene. But definitely,
you know Jordan Brain.
Yeah. I think this guy's going to get in there. He's definitely going to bring it. It should be an interesting fight. Wilson Gouveia, I seen his last fight at UFC 80 Rapid Fire. Devastating knockout, 37 seconds. You know, personally, I think Gouveia may win this just because guys usually have some octagon jitters. This is this guy's first fight in any big organization whatsoever. Gouveia has the experience in the octagon. He has some good wins here. And, you know, I think he wins. But am I going to be shocked if this guy wins? Hell no, because, you know, he's kind of like that unknown thing, man. We've seen it lately, dude. Okay, the UFC is, you know, a lot of big things are happening. Guys are coming there you have no idea about, like Houston Alexander, and they just totally take someone's head off. So, you know, this is a very hard fight to pick. But just on based on the octagon experience alone, I'm going with Wilson Gouveia.
Well, you know, again, I got to say, I echo your sentiments of not being that knowledgeable, certainly not about Gordon Rilichik, or really even Wilson Gouveia, to be honest with you, either. So this is going to be much more difficult fight for me to really pick without just sort of throwing out a guess there. What would you say would be the sort of style of Gouveia? Is he more of a striker? What do you see as
well,
his strong
suits? He's also a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu practitioner, man.
So this could be two BJJ guys going at it here. But Govea, you think, seems like a pretty decent striker as well.
Yeah, well, he did knock out Jason Lambert in like 37 seconds.
Well, excuse me. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to go Wilson Govea again, you know, just from just kind of from your recommendation, basically. Haven't really seen a chance to check out a lot of Wilson Govea fights, but, you know, again, he does have the UFC experience, so I'm going to go ahead and pick him along with you.
All right, next fight up, dude, should be a pretty damn exciting fight. Of course, we're talking about the Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz, taking on Lyoto the Dragon Machida, man. So let's kind of get up, jump into this. Of course, we all know Tito Ortiz, man. Legendary Tito Ortiz. This guy was very dominant, light heavyweight champion back when he was just destroying that division, when he was a lot bigger than people, and he was just ground and pound specialist. A lot of people say he's fallen off recently. I mean, he did suffer some very devastating losses to Chuck Liddell. But then he come back and he had a very good fight with Rashad Evans. Personally, he won that fight other than the fact that he lost a point by grabbing the fence and ended in a draw. You know, and this, you know, you never really should count out Tito Ortiz, man, unless, you know, you're Chuck Liddell and Lyoto Machida isn't. You know, he's going to give you a damn good fight, in my opinion. Now, Machida, undefeated, he's you know, looked very well. He's knocked out Rich Franklin in Japan. He beat, you know, Sokoju when Sokoju was coming here, and everybody thought the guy was going to tear the world up, man. He has a very awkward karate base, a very awkward style that a lot of people don't like. They, you know, they think that he's kind of a boring fighter. But personally, and, you know, I think that he's very technical. He doesn't come running in at you. He's very hard to hit, dude. This guy has exceptional reflexes and quickness, and it's going to be damn hard to land any kind of strikes on him at all, and that's just kind of his specialty. He takes very little damage while dishing it out. He likes to switch stances often, and that really throws the fighter off. But I think if Tito can, you know, shoot in with a good double or something, get it down on the ground, he's going to have a very good chance because he doesn't have to pass the guard. Tito Ortiz is insane at landing some damage from inside the guard. One of the best guys there is, you know, like a Randy Couture or something like that. You know, who do I think is going to win this fight? It's going to be hard. Of course, you know, the UFC put this in there. They want Machida to win. They want to send Ortiz out on a losing note. They want to just, you know, officially say this guy's done by having to get beat and then, you know, his contract being up. And, you know, and that kind of makes me want to pick Ortiz, thinking that he's just really going to go out there and have so much motivation to really stick it to the UFC. So I kind of think, you know, I kind of think the Huntington Beach bad boy may, in fact, win this one. Well, you, go ahead, man. What's your pick? Yeah, if you're talking, you obviously got your mic muted, and I can't hear you.
Damn it. Sorry about that. I did that again. You know, if you want to, you can cut that out later. But, yeah, I was just had it muted there, so you didn't hear me sniffing or snuffing around while, yeah, because I got a cold here while you were talking and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think you did a very good job of breaking down this fight here. I guess you're going to go with Tito to win it. You know, I think you said a lot of, you know, made a lot of really good points here. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think Tito Ortiz, his heart is truly in winning this fight? Or do you think there's just going to be kind of like, this is my last fight. Yeah, I'm going to go out to win, but, you know, maybe he can't get up for it as much anymore. You think his heart's still in fighting in general, or do you think he wants to go and be an actor somewhere, or go on, move on to something besides mixed martial arts?
First of all, I think he's very dedicated to this fight, okay? He knows what the UFC's trying to do here. He wants to get a big payday elsewhere. He sees all this huge money been thrown around by Affliction, you know, Elite XC, you know, getting big with the CBS deal. Maybe they start throwing around some money. You know, Japan, all these places, okay? Tito Ortiz wants to be a big-time free agent. There is no way I think he didn't train his ass off for this match, coming here 100% fully prepared to destroy Lito and Machida.
Well, I gotta say, as much as I would like to pick Lyoto Machida to win this fight, I must concur with you and agree 100% and say that.
And now, I will warn you, dude, Machida is one of these guys that can make us look very bad for picking against him. Just like I said, in all of his fights, he has taken very little damage, man. This guy is very awkward to fight.
Yeah. I like Machida. I don't think the guy's bad at all. I think he's a very good fighter, but just for all the reasons you highlighted, I mean, obviously the obvious talent of Tito Ortiz, and I think the obvious, you know, I was throwing it out there, being a devil's advocate. I totally agree with you. I think he is going to be 100% up for this fight. He's going to want to stick it to Dana White on the way out, because the UFC has absolutely set this up to be a passing the torch kind of fight. You know what I'm saying? It's like they expect Tito to pass the torch to Lyoto Machida on the way out. And Dana White, and this is something that was pretty interesting, man. I was watching that UFC, countdown, whatever it is that they have on the Spike. And at the end, Dana White, here's what he said about Tito Ortiz. He said, "I have no ill will against Tito." He's like, you know, regardless of what Tito thinks about me, I have no ill will towards Tito Ortiz. And, you know, he wants to go on and be an actor. Here's what he said. He didn't say he wanted to go on and be a mixed martial artist anywhere else. He said if Tito wants to go make movies, he's like, I hope he has a lot of success doing that. I hope he wins a couple of Academy Awards. He's like, because this is going to be his last fight. He made it out to be like, this is going to be his last fight ever, and he's just going to go make movies after this. Here's what Tito said in response. Tito just said, I'm going to look to the guys at UFC, like the matchmaker, who I can't remember his name at the moment, stuff like that. Say thank you so much for, you know, everything you did. He said, I'm going to look right at Dana White, and I'm going to tell him, hey, fuck you, before he leaves, is what he said he was going to do. So I think he's going to have a lot of incentive to win. I think he's going to go fight somewhere else. There's no reason why he should not go fight somewhere else. While he, you know, if he is going to pursue a career in making movies, that's not going to necessarily be the most lucrative thing right away, especially. So why not try to make another big payday? He obviously is going to be worth a lot of money on the free agent market, because even if he isn't the fighter he used to be, which I still think he's really good, he's going to be a big name, a big draw. I think Elite XC needs to be all over trying to sign him. Obviously, Affliction, they would probably need to, I mean, they would need to put a bid in if they can afford it. I mean, they've already spent so much money on Fedor. I don't know if they got enough money laying around to plop a big contract down. But looking at, you know, Elite XC, Pro Elite, you know, who the hell do they have signed that's really got that big of a contract? I mean, I'm sure Kimbo's making pretty good money. But do they have any guys that are like, you just know, like, wow, that guy's making a lot of money per fight? You know, think about it here, especially on their card here.
I don't know.
I mean, the champions like Robbie Lawler, I'm sure he's not making that much money for them. You know, Kimbo, like I said, maybe. Obviously, the guy he's facing, James Thompson, isn't making that much money. KJ Nunes, who's like their lightweight champion, I believe, he's not making that much money, I'm sure. So I think they should be able to afford to sign a big name like Tito. I don't think they've got that many big contracts, whereas Affliction already has several big-name fighters under contract. I think, you know, Pro Elite needs to go out there and sign Tito Ortiz if he becomes a free agent. And back to this fight again, like I said, I'm picking Tito, and I think Tito's going to want to increase his monetary worth by winning this fight, so he's going to be very motivated to win. I agree with you. I think he's going to probably... Machida has a very awkward style, but I think Ortiz is going to get him down. He's going to do some damage to him. I don't know if he'll stop him or not. It's possible. But Tito is just also a much more physically imposing fighter than Lyoto Machida. Machida's a very kind of a diminutive guy for being 205 pounds, whereas Tito Ortiz is one of the largest 205-pound fighters. So I think it's going to be that size difference, the experience edge, and then just the fact that Tito is, you know, one hell of a fighter. I think he's going to pull it out.
Yeah. All right, let's move on here to the last of the dedicated main card bouts. Of course, we're talking about Thiago Silva versus Antonio Samurai Melendez. Of course, now when we look at this, man, Silva 12-0, undefeated. Okay, we all know about that. We also know that he was the guy that was the original guy that exposed Houston Alexander.
It says 11-0 here on my screen.
Well, the old Fight Finder has 12-0, man.
Okay.
Maybe they didn't count one of these. They probably didn't count this, like, Abu Dhabi combat, you know, win or something. Who knows? You know, there's no official records for a lot of these guys, dude. They count amateur fights. They count, you know, non-MMA type bouts. You know, it's really hard to tell. But basically, he's undefeated. Let's just say that. He's the original guy that exposed Houston Alexander, okay? He took Houston Alexander down and showed this guy's like a turtle. You get him on his back, and he doesn't know how to get up. He's just dead. So that was back at UFC 78 Validation. Exposed Alexander, made him look bad. And that's when Houston Alexander was a big-time deal, okay? Houston Alexander was in the co-main event of that card against this guy, and Alves had a huge win. Or not Alves, Silva. Now we're talking about Antonio Mendez, okay? This guy is 14-2, and he's only an 11-fight win streak, okay? So huge winning streak. Both of these guys basically are on huge win streaks. One's undefeated. This guy's only lost twice. Okay, the level of competition is totally different because he's been taking on guys over in the European scene. Not that they're bad fighters, but, you know, they're not, maybe not the level of what Thiago Silva's is fault. So it's definitely going to be a very interesting matchup. I was very impressed with Silva back at UFC 78. That's, you know, pretty much the reason I'm liking him here. I think Thiago Silva wins this one.
I got to agree with you. I think, you know, he is a very impressive fighter. Of course, you said it talked about his dominance of Houston Alexander. You know, I think he's a really up-and-coming guy again in that 205-pound division, and I fully expect him, I guess, to just keep on rolling here in this fight against Antonio Samurai Mendez.
All right, yeah, definitely. There's actually one other fight that I kind of want to talk about.
Me too. I'm sure you're talking about the Sokaju fight.
Sokaju versus Nakamura. Alright, Sokaju, this guy was a huge free agent for a long time. Okay, maybe that really actually hurt him coming into the UFC. He was out there forever. There was talks about him going to K1, to different organizations. Finally, UFC signed him. They bring him in, and they put him up against Lyoto Machida. As I said, dude, that guy is very elusive, very hard to fight, very hard style. And this was a fight that Sokaju looked, you know, I'll say it, he looked not that impressive, and he didn't look great at all. He got taken down. There was a lot of groundwork. His ground skills didn't look that good. You know, of course, we know he's an impressive striker because he really, and the whole reason he really got famous is because he beat Ricardo Arona and Little Nog over in Pride, both by devastating knockouts early in the first round. Two huge victories. So, you know, this is a very good bounce back match. Okay, now he's going up against a judo expert, Kazuro Nakamura. The funny thing about it, Nakamura's last opponent was, of course, and his UFCA debut was against Lyoto Machida. Another fight that was exactly like this, man. Machida makes guys look horrible. His style makes you look like you're, you know, not a great fighter. Okay, Nakamura didn't look good in this at all. He got taken down a lot. He didn't do much with him. You know, he showed that he's a very tough guy. Okay, he was very tough. He hung in there for the decision, but he really didn't do much. And, you know, so it's hard to say, looking at that common opponent there, which one of these guys are going to win it, because they both look bad against him. I think, though, that Sokaju, you know, with those wins, you know, I think he's training up there. with Team Quest. He's also a judo champion, by the way. I want to throw that out. Both of these guys have a, you know, a good, very good judo background. I think Sokoju wins this one. Okay, Nakamura, you know, he's a Pride veteran, but he never was really a guy that made a lot of waves in Pride. Every big name he fought, other than Kevin Randleman and Murillo Bustamante, he lost to. He lost to Vanderlei Silva. You know, he lost to Josh Barnett. He lost to Mauricio Shogun Rua. You know, he lost to Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. You know, so if I had to, you know, make a pick here, I think I'm going with Sokoju. But although, again, this is a very hard one to call, man.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, you know, this is a very interesting matchup because we're talking about two high caliber judokas here. Kazuhiro Nakamura, he is a judo. Is he a black belt in judo, I believe?
Yeah, both of them are.
Both of them are, of course, a black belt. Sokoju, a second degree black belt. So I think that's an interesting matchup here. We can see a good old fashioned judo display here between the two of these men. You know, the clinch work and some throws, judo throws perhaps. The real question is, though, for Sokoju, is his ground game improving in him? Because that's his biggest problem. All right, he's a good striker. He's got the good, judo background. But when he gets on the ground, I mean, like you said, Machida just made him look like a fool. And I was just reading here on Sokoju's bio page here on UFC, and he was talking about, when and why did you start training for this fight? It says Dan Henderson brought me in to help train for Nakamura.
Yeah.
After getting beat up, I decided I needed to learn this. The rest is history. So Sokoju now working with Dan Henderson. I think that's a great guy to teach you, you know, improve your ground skills a little bit. You know, Dan Henderson. Henderson also, you know, a tough striker and stuff. So a good guy to help Sokoju out. I think Sokoju's, you know, he's obviously already more impressive than if you just look at his record, even though he's only 4-2. He's got the impressive wins, Nakamura 11-7. That's like not exactly like a UFC style record. I mean, UFC doesn't like the guys that have a lot of losses, really. So I could see this also being a fight where the loser might be out of the UFC. As highly touted as Sokoju was, I mean, he's not won a single fight since being under the Zuffa banner. He lost a WEC fight in his first fight for Zuffa to Glover Teixeira by TKO in the first round. He got knocked out.
Wow. And then he went to Pride, knocked out Ricardo Arona and Antonio Rodriguez.
Well,
Nogueira,
yeah,
though,
I mean,
man.
But I'm just saying his two fights for Zuffa, you know, the first WEC knockout. But he, of course, got better since then. He came back, though, just to get beat by Lyoto Machida. So, I mean, you know, it's not going to – if he doesn't win, Zuffa's not going to want him. You can't market a fighter that's not going to win, as highly touted as he was. He needs to win this fight very badly. I think he is going to win it. I think he's going to, I think it could be a knockout. You know, like I said, I think you got two judo guys here that are, they're going to counteract each other. I think it's going to stay on the feet maybe. And I think we could see Sokoju picking up the win. If it goes to the ground, I mean, what do you know here about Nakamura? Is he got anything on the ground? Have you seen this guy?
Well, again,
fight before?
Both of the I think, yeah, I have, dude. I've seen his fight against Machida, and I've seen Sokoju's fight against Machida. Again, you got to remember both of these guys high level judo. Okay, judo just ain't about throws and all that stuff. That's
yeah,
a lot
I mean,
there, of
there's definitely
the
yeah, there is a ground element.
So I would definitely say their judo is going to cancel each other out, basically. And it's really going to be about who's a better striker, who's a better wrestler. If I had to pick between that, I see Sokoju has the better hands. We've seen his knockout power. We've seen, you know, his crazy striking abilities. You know, Nakamura, you know, while obviously competent there, I don't know. I would rate him a little bit lower in striking than Sokoju.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going with Soho Jew to win this. I think he needs to win it badly. I think he's got more. I just feel like he's a guy that's got more potential to really do something than Nakamura does. Not a thing against Nakamura, but I just, like I said, I think Soho Jew is a guy that could be a real stud. I mean, he's got, you know, like you said, he was thinking about going to K1. I mean, if you got K1 level striking ability and
well,
you're a world,
sign him. They might have been signing for Heroes. I'm not sure about all of that. You know, I just saw
I mean,
he was in negotiations.
Just from
K-1.
Seeing the guy, I mean, we saw his fight against Little Nog, man. Very impressive knockout in that fight. I mean, he's definitely got. I don't know if he might not be the best K1 level guy, but I mean, he's not like. I don't know if he could be a K1, you know, world Grand Prix champion or something like that. But he's definitely a good striker, a guy who probably could hold his own in K1. He's a world class judoka. If he can just work on his ground game, I think he can become a really solid fighter. He's working with some good people, like I said, with Dan Henderson. So I think he's got a future that's going to be bright, and I think it's going to start with this win over Nakamura.
Yeah, all right. So that wraps up about UFC 84. Definitely, this is going to be a huge UFC, so all the fans are going to want to tune in and watch that. Like I said, we're going to be investigating this UFC fantasy thing here. I'm actually looking pretty good.
Yeah, it looks just like a fantasy pick'em kind of thing. So we'll definitely get a league set up on there and make all of our official picks on the fantasy.
Mm-hmm. And UFC. We'll give you the information for the listeners to join the league and get playing along with us there and see if you're better than us. You know,
yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But I guess it's time to wrap up the old podcast, so let's just plug a few things. Of course, by the way, please send in your feedback, because I'd really enjoy that. You know, get some emails in here, tell us what you think about the show.
Definitely want some feedback. I mean, come on, people. We know you're going to be watching UFC 84. If you're not watching UFC 84, then why are you listening to this podcast? I mean, really?
Yeah.
And if you're going to watch it, we want to hear what you think about all the fights. So send that email, of course, to the email address that Afton's going to tell you about right now.
Yeah, of course, that is the old manup inbox at mmamanup@gmail.com. Of course, check out the website, mmamanup.com. You can find everything out about there. If you're listening to this, you're not subscribing through iTunes yet, please do so, and that'll really help us out.
Afton, I want to do a live podcast for this show. I just want to do a live MMA show, much like we're doing the live No Gimmicks Needed wrestling podcast. We need to do a live version of this MMA Man Up, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. We might schedule one of those for next week after UFC 84.
I'm thinking maybe we could do that. What do you think about maybe Sunday would be a good day? Maybe Sunday evening. I don't know. We'll keep the fans posted. Just check out MMAManUp.com for any word on that. There will be, you know, the live show will be through the website BlogTalkRadio.com, which is a good site for finding internet radio programs and such. Of course, I do a live pro wrestling podcast on there every Saturday at 3:00. PM. It's blogtalkradio.com/no gimmicks needed if you want to check that out. So let's go ahead and get my other plug in. ProWrestlingPodcast.com, which is the home of all the No Gimmicks Needed podcast details and place to download and subscribe through iTunes and all that good stuff. So if you're into the pro style wrestling, be sure to check that out as well.
Yeah. And I think that wraps it up, another edition of the podcast. So until we come at you next time with a review of UFC 84, I'm thinking. I'll have to look at the schedule. I'm pretty sure that's the next card coming up.
Yeah, that's the Saturday. I mean, there's nothing else between now and Saturday that I know of anyway.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for downloading, and thank you for listening.
See ya.